The International Conference at Illinois State University is the first in the world to address the issue of recursion. Everett, who's the subject of a lengthy New Yorker article and has appeared on shows including Weekend Edition here on GLT, has also spent years in the Amazonian jungle living with a small tribe, studying their language and culture. So what is recursion?
Recursion is a special property of the way we combine the components of our language. It is best seen in simple grammar examples like the house that Jack built. So the house is a noun phrase, that Jack built is a sentence, and you put the sentence inside the noun phrase to get a relative clause. The house that Jack built that Mary said that was very pretty that somebody else will buy in the future is just more examples of that. And that turns out to be an extremely important property of human brains and most human languages.
What came first, language or abstract thought?
Well, that's a very difficult question, and I'm part of a European Union research grant, What Makes Humans So Smart is the name of it. That's exactly the question we asked. Did the intelligence come from the language, or did language come from the intelligence? I think that the answer is probably going to be the two together. We got linguistic abilities through greater intelligence. Those linguistic abilities then increased our intelligence, which gave us more linguistic abilities, so it's an interplay.
The tribe whose language and culture you were studying in the Amazon, the Pitahan, what do you believe the future holds for them?
Well, if their land is protected and people are kept from invading their land, they have a reasonably optimistic future. But the fact is there are roughly 350 of those people, and outsiders are going into their land all the time. They're dealing with some diseases. There are reports of tuberculosis starting to reach the group, although I didn't see any when I was just down there in January. The prognosis is not good if they don't receive a lot of assistance from the outside, and I'm hoping that some of the attention that's coming to my research these days will be translated, and I'll be able to help translate it into more support for the people.
Where are the Pitahan located?
If you took out all the country boundaries of South America and just look smack dab in the middle of the Amazon rainforest, that's where they are.
How did you learn how to communicate with them?
I first went there in December of 1977. I didn't speak a word of the language. They didn't speak any language that I knew. They didn't speak Portuguese, and they certainly didn't speak English. So I started with what some linguists call the monolingual research method. So I would speak in English. They didn't understand what I'm saying, but at least they knew I could talk. And I would point to, say, a stick, and I would say in English, stick. And they would get the idea that I wanted to learn what that word was, so they would say back something like I, which means stick in Pitahan. Then I might let the stick drop to the ground, and I would say the stick fell to the ground. And they would say I migikaube, the stick fell to the ground. And you're not sure at first that that's what those things mean, but you begin to test it out, and you work, and you start from simple nouns and verbs, and work your way up after a lot of years to speaking the language fairly well.
Does the assimilation of people throughout the world into a global society worry you at all? Are you worried that cultures and parts of what make us human might be lost?
Well, there are some natural forces that cause these things to happen, so you can't stand by and lament the fact that nature is taking its course. I mean, a lot of this is just part of what it means to evolve culturally as human beings on this planet. On the other hand, there is a lot that we lose when a culture is lost or a language is lost. We lose an entire perspective on the world, ways of sorting the experiences that we have into different meaningful chunks, different philosophies, different approaches to human problems. And I would suggest that the Pitahan are among the happiest and most contented people that I've met. And somebody has asked me, how would you measure that? You could measure how much time they spend smiling and laughing a day with the average amount of time the Americans spend smiling and laughing. In any case, if their culture is lost, we've lost something very important. And that's true of the more than 6,000 languages and cultures represented by those languages in the world today.
How would the Pitahan say goodbye and best wishes?
Well, they wouldn't say best wishes, but they would say for goodbye, I'm already leaving.
Daniel Everett says he believes human language developed because the brain is an extremely powerful computational device capable of processing visual, tactile, and other information without specialized modules. He says he believes the complex interplay of what we have in the brain, what we have to say, and various human cultures gave birth to human language. He says others theorize human language was the result of an area of the brain devoted solely to that task. The conference he put together at Illinois State University has been going on all this week. I'm Jim Brown, WGLT News.